Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, August 10th, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. We are in a passage of, certainly applies where we are today. Lots of false teachers and spirit of Antichrist all throughout, not only America, but the world. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And Heavenly Father, as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon in these last days, as we witness the apostasy and degeneracy in Client Nation USA, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, start of verse 1. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God. But analyze the spirits, the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. Verse 2, this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges, who teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. The Apostle John was dealing with the apostasy, the false doctrine, the false teachers of Gnostics and Gnosticism. They not only denied the deity of Jesus Christ, they denied that Jesus Christ was the eternal Son of God, did not come from heaven. They denied the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. They denied the incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ. 1 John is a polemic against Corinthian Gnosticism. Now, Corinthus has been dead a long time. But we have false teachers, spirit of Antichrist, all throughout the United States of America. Some of them are in pulpits, some of them are in politics, but we are getting exactly what Satan wants us to hear, his lies, his evil, his human good. we have almost no truth. Almost no truth being presented. And those few local churches with sound doctrinal teachers that are teaching truth, believers in this country don't give a damn. And that spells destruction for the United States of America. So he says in verse 2, this is how the Spirit of God is recognized. Every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Verse 3, but every persuasive speaker, false teacher, who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus, that is Orthodox Christology and Soteriology, the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, absolutely is not from God, the living and true God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom, that is the Antichrist, you have heard that he is coming. John has taught eschatological doctrine about the tribulation, the Antichrist, over and over and over again. About whom you have heard that he is coming. But now, in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. They keep on being in the world right now. Verse 4, you and only you, that is believers living the spiritual life, are from God, dear children, students under authority, and you have overcome them. Them, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist. You've cleared the hurdles of momentum testing, specifically people testing. Because greater is he who is in you. And that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Totally unique to this dispensation, the church age. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit indwell every single church age believer. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, and that is Satan. Believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, they will clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Now, they will clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing when they reach, when they attain spiritual adulthood. Now, God has, there are three categories of spiritual adulthood. Three categories of spiritual adulthood. Spiritual self-esteem, spiritual autonomy, spiritual maturity. And for each category of spiritual adulthood, God has a category of suffering for blessing. For spiritual self-esteem, providential preventative suffering. For spiritual autonomy, momentum testing. For spiritual maturity, evidence testing. So for each category of spiritual adulthood, God has a category of suffering for blessing. In 1 John 4:4, the emphasis is on clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. Specifically, thought testing, the Gnosticism of the day and false doctrine, people testing, the false teachers and the spirit of Antichrist, system testing, and disaster testing. Momentum testing is designed by God for two reasons. First of all, to provide the believer with the opportunity to apply Bible doctrine that he has learned. To apply the God's problem-solving devices that you have learned and believed and are out on the flat line of your soul. That's the precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdles of momentum testing. But secondly, to accelerate the believer's spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. Now, spiritual growth certainly results from doing what you're doing this evening. Consistent and faithful, assembling in a sound Bible teaching church, and metabolizing Bible doctrine. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. But spiritual growth is accelerated from the application of Bible doctrine to the categories of testing and then passing the testing, clearing the hurdles. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about suffering. And suffering is divided into two general categories. There is suffering for blessing, suffering for testing, for the believer who is living the spiritual life. But there is also suffering for discipline, suffering for punishment for those believers who are living in Satan's cosmic system. No believer can fulfill the plan of God and glorify the Lord to the maximum apart from clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. Now, I have used my background. I was in track and field and I ran the hurdles. And the more I studied momentum testing in the Word of God, and I began to realize, at least I could see, a great analogy between running the hurdles and momentum testing. And so you won't hear this from any other pastor in any other local church, and that's fine. They have their own illustrations. This is the best analogy for me, and I hope it has been helpful for you. Now, the only thing that pissed me off is that hurdling today in 2023 is not what it was when I ran. And I told you that I watched the NC2A championships being held in University of Texas at Austin, and I specifically wanted to watch the hurdle, the high hurdle. And I got so damn mad. The national champion hit all 10 hurdles and won. If I was there, I'd have shot him. That is not how that event was designed. My brother Don called me, and he listens to the classes. He gets them and listens to them. And he brought up, he says, "Boy," he says, "I agree with you 100%. It wasn't that way when we ran hurdles." I said, "No, when we ran hurdles, they were wood. They didn't move. You hit them. Well, you lost your momentum. A lot of times you just crashed and burned, slid on the cinders. But you never, if we hit all 10 hurdles, we'd have been last. But now they got these hurdles are so effing flimsy that if you watch, they hit one. Sometimes they bounce up several feet in the air behind. And the next one, and they actually are trained not to clear the hurdle. But they hit it. Hit all 10 and you win. Now, forget about that. Don't ever watch modern day track and field hurdling. It ruins my analogy. I'm not going to throw it out. And then I told Don, well, back in the day, you know, that when you get older and older, it's always back in the day. Back in the day, you had to learn to clear the hurdle. You had to learn precisely correct procedure. And I even broke when I first got to WSU in the field house working out. I hit these big wooden barriers and I hit them with my lead leg coming up and I broke the crossbar on so many of them, they bought new hurdles. But the new hurdles they bought, they had in the back of the, you have the hurdle that comes down. Well, hurdle comes down and then you have this part here, and they had big weights back here. And those weights would make it so that when you hit it, you lost your momentum. You couldn't win a race running the hurdles and hit these with this big weight on the back. And that's the way it was when I ran. And I told you I was in the pack. By the way, the pack used to be that when I ran as the Pac 8, then it was the Pac 10, then the Pac 12, and now it's the Pac 4. And probably it will be nothing. That conference is gone. It's gone, gone, gone. But when I ran, I was running in the championships, and I was in first place till the last hurdle. The guy from Southern Cal was in the lane next to me, but I was ahead of him going to the last hurdle. I hit the last hurdle. He cleared it. He won. I was second. But that's the way it should be. That's the way hurdling should be. So don't watch whatever they're doing now. That it ruins my whole everything I worked up here. So I'm just going to stick with you. Go back to watching back in the day. I think it is a great, well for me, great way to illustrate how to pass momentum testing. Precisely correct procedure. What is that precisely correct procedure? God's problem-solving devices. All 10 of them. Learning them, believing them, getting on the flat line of your soul, and using them, and clearing the hurdles of momentum testing. Some of the testing, of momentum testing, is adversity, and some of the testing for the spiritual life is prosperity. All categories of testing in the spiritual life are designed for blessing. And therefore, whether adversity or prosperity, the testing is for your benefit. Human volition plays a very important part in testing. For the believer must make the right decision to skillfully and accurately apply God's word to the situation in your life. The winner believer has overcome them. In our passage, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist, he has cleared the hurdles of momentum testing, specifically people testing, because greater is he who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world, Satan. Now the last clause of 1 John 4:4 is putting the spotlight on the indwelling of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Unique. Unique to the church age, unique to you as royal family of God. So let's take a look at the relationship between the indwelling of the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, with the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. The relationship between the indwelling of the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, with the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. One, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit provides a temple. It makes your body a temple, a sacred building for the indwelling of Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, and God the Father. So the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit provides your body, it makes your body a sacred building, a temple for the indwelling of Christ as the Shekinah glory and God the Father. Turn over, first of all, to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. First Corinthians 3, verse 16, do you not know, and what the believers in Corinth did not know was almost infinite. Do you not know that you are a temple of God? And he's talking about the church age believer, royal family of God. You are a temple of God. God the Holy Spirit has made your body a temple. Now, there are no sacred buildings in the church age. In the age of Israel, yes, in the age of Israel, there were sacred buildings. There was the tabernacle. There was the temple. That was the age of Israel. There are no sacred buildings in the church age. But your body has been made a sacred building, a temple, by God the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, dwells in you? Now just turn over to chapter 6. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body. Now, I don't know if any of you have taken the time to think about the fact that the living and true God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are indwelling your body. They're with you everywhere you go, all the time. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit makes your body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. And therefore, that, just knowing that, what are you living your life for? To glorify the living and true God who is residing right inside of you? Or are you too self-centered and preoccupied with yourself and only in love with you, yourself, but have no love for God, who is living inside of you. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians 6. A lot of the believers in Corinth, well, they did not. They were living in the cosmic system, most of them. They have committed every category of reversionism ever found in the Word of God and invented some that have never been in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols?" And then Paul says, "For we are the temple of the living God." The living and true God lives inside of us. We're the temple of the living God. As God has said, "I will indwell them and will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them." Come out from what? Come out from these idol temples in Corinth. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, what does he mean when he has this in 2 Corinthians 6, 16 and 17? Let's amplify this passage. First of all, one, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, we have the phrase, "the idols." And the idols refers to the Corinthian temples, buildings. Idol temples in Corinth. Two, they were houses of prostitution. These idol temples in Corinth were houses of prostitution. Places where they worshipped the various gods and goddesses of sex. And here were a lot of these born-again believers in Corinth. They place their faith in Jesus Christ. They're still going to the idol temples and fornicating there with the prostitutes, getting involved. It was also where the best bars were. The best bars in Corinth were there at the idol temples. So they would go fornicate, they would drink a lot, they'd get plastered. There were drugs, they got involved in drugs. All of that, and they're believers. Are they living the spiritual life? No, they're living in Satan's cosmic system. And that's why Paul writes this. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Point two, they were houses of prostitution, places where they worshiped the various gods and goddesses of sex. They were also the place where the best bars were and the best food was, with a little religion thrown in on the side. As a result, Corinth was one of the great party towns in the ancient world. Actually, not a town, millions of people there, party cities. Since some of the believers were still going back there, Paul asked the question, what is the connection between those idol temples and the temple of your body? Three. Several of the believers in Corinth were still going back to the Corinthian temples. And involved in fornication, drunkenness, drug addiction. They weren't glorifying God in their body. They were blaspheming God in their body. Four. Paul is saying God the Holy Spirit indwells your body and makes it a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Paul is saying God the Holy Spirit indwells your body, making your body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ and God the Father. Five. But you are only interested in satisfying yourself. There's where most Christians are today in America. This is their thinking. To hell with God. To hell with the Word of God. To hell with assembling in a church that teaches the Word of God. I'm going to satisfy myself and what I want to do. Most believers today are self-centered, preoccupied with themselves. And in so doing that, you blaspheme God every day. So again, five, but you are only interested in satisfying yourself. Self-centeredness, preoccupation with self. And in so doing, you blaspheme God every day. You're really living in Satan's cosmic system. Because it's all about you, and it's not about God at all. In fact, God doesn't mean anything to you. Two, the combination of the indwelling of God the Father and God the Son, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is the basis for living the unique spiritual life of the church age. The combination of the indwelling of the Father and the Son and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the basis for living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Three, you glorify God in your body by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to maturity and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The two great motivational virtues, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, which motivates the great functional virtue, impersonal love for all. You glorify God in your body by living the spiritual life, by the spiritual skill, attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Four, motivation. Motivation from the indwelling of Christ and the Father. Motivation of personal love for the Father and occupation with Christ is directly related to the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. The motivation from the indwelling of Jesus Christ and the Father, the motivational virtue of personal love for the Father and occupation with Christ is directly related to the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3:23 and 24, when John taught verse 23, and this is his mandate, his commandment. There are two mandates here. Phase one mandate for the whole world. The mandate for the whole world to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then for those who believe in Jesus Christ, a mandate for all believers. and to love one another. Love one another, impersonal love for all, just as He, the Lord Jesus Christ, commanded us. Verse 24. In fact, the one who keeps, who obeys, who executes His mandates, keeps on minnowing in Him, living the spiritual life. Also He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is abiding in Him, that is, making Himself at home in the mature believer's heart. In fact, by this we have come to know that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, minnows in us, has made Himself at home in our hearts, by God the Holy Spirit, whom He, God the Father, has given to us for our spiritual benefit. That's the indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit to live the spiritual life. 5. Jesus Christ indwelling our bodies is our status quo ever since salvation. Jesus Christ indwelling our bodies is our status quo ever since that moment of faith in Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ being glorified in our bodies, that is the ultimate experience of spiritual adulthood. But Jesus Christ being glorified in our bodies is the ultimate experience of spiritual adulthood. So again, point 5, Jesus Christ indwelling our bodies is our status quo since salvation. But Jesus Christ being glorified in our bodies is the ultimate experience of spiritual adulthood. Point 6. The 3 stages of spiritual adulthood are related to 3 experiences associated with Jesus Christ in our bodies. The 3 stages of spiritual adulthood are related to 3 experiences associated with Christ in our bodies. First of all, the experience of spiritual self-esteem is Christ being formed in you. Galatians 4:19. First of all, the experience of spiritual self-esteem is Christ being formed in you, Galatians 4:19. Secondly, the experience of spiritual autonomy is Christ being at home in your heart, Ephesians 3:17. The experience of spiritual autonomy is Christ being at home in your heart, Ephesians 3:17. Third, the experience of spiritual maturity is Christ being glorified in our bodies. The experience of spiritual maturity is Christ being glorified in our bodies. Philippians 1, verse 20. So the 3 stages of spiritual adulthood are related to the 3 experiences associated with Christ in our bodies. The experience of spiritual self-esteem, Christ being formed in you, Galatians 4:19. The experience of spiritual autonomy, Christ being at home in your heart, Ephesians 3:17. The experience of spiritual maturity is Christ being glorified in our body, Philippians 1:20. These stages of experience are a result of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, who, from His base of operations in our body, functions as the power to live the unique spiritual life through the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. 4. The indwelling of Jesus Christ provides a new emphasis for the royal family of God and a new priority in our lives. The indwelling of Jesus Christ provides a new emphasis for the royal family of God and a new priority. For we are now, through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth, we are in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. He is the head, we are the body. Negative volition to God and His Word results in wrong relationship with God. And wrong relationship with God will always result in wrong relationships with people. However, right relationship with God will result in right relationship with people. The priority is God emphasis over people emphasis. If you put people emphasis over God emphasis, well, you're a loser. And you will crash and burn. You're back asswards. Right relationship with God results in right relationship with people. Subpoint 5. The indwelling of Jesus Christ demands that every believer give number one priority to his relationship with God before his relationship with people. God emphasis precedes people emphasis for the believer who is living the spiritual life. Motivational virtue has to precede functional virtue. Personal love for God, occupation with Christ, precedes and motivates impersonal love for all mankind. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit provides the base of operations for establishing as our number one priority the relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Point 7. From the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, we learn about the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory, and this results in the transformation of our lives. From the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, we learn about the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory, and this results in the transformation of our life. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18, which says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, spiritual freedom. And we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the mirror of the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is God the Holy Spirit." So again, from the indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, we learn about the indwelling of Jesus Christ as the Shekinah glory, and this results in the transformation of our lives from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. All right. Again, 1 John 4, verse 4, you and only you, believers living the spiritual life, you're from God, dear children, students under authority, and you have overcome them, false teachers, spirit of Antichrist. You've cleared the hurdles of people testing. Because greater is he who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world, that is Satan. All right, now that brings us to verse 5. 1 John 4, verse 5. They are of the world. This is the nominative plural of the intensive pronoun autos plus the present active indicative of eimi plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of cosmos with the definite article. The intensive pronoun autos. By the way, don't you think, what does Dave have over me? Look at that. Is that not beautiful? We may have to take a picture of that, and I'll send you all one for Christmas. Pastor Olson's artwork. There you go. The intensive pronoun autos. Now, A-U-T-O-S. Now, in classical Greek, an intensive pronoun was always an intensive pronoun. It wasn't anything but an intensive pronoun. But the Bible, the New Testament, was written in Koine Greek. That is the language of the common man. That's Koine means. Common Greek. And in Koine Greek, the intensive pronoun autos is oftentimes, in fact, more often than not, it's used as the third person personal pronoun and is correctly translated they. And that's what we will translate it. They. Now, who is they? One, they refers to the false teachers. They refers to the false teachers. They, the false teachers, are from the cosmic system. That's where they live. That's where they function. That's where they get all their lies that they communicate. All the false teachers in politics, all the liberals, all the socialists. Liberalism and socialism is just full of people in the cosmic system who teach lies, 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 lies. And that's all we hear in this nation. The lies of false teachers living in the cosmic system. And unfortunately, a lot of pastors are in that category as well. They refers to false teachers. Two, in John's day, these false teachers were primarily Gnostics and were teaching the false doctrines related to Gnosticism. And they had many, many false doctrines. They denied the deity of Christ. They denied the hypostatic union of Christ. They denied the virgin birth of Christ. Three, however, they include all false teachers, both believers and unbelievers living in Satan's cosmic system. And today, there are just as many believers who are false teachers as unbelievers. However, they include all false teachers, both believers and unbelievers, living in Satan's cosmic system. And then we have the verb eimi. And of course, you people, you're the enlightened congregation. I can put eimi and you got, I got that. That's the to be verb in the Greek. Now, what you don't have, I don't think, is you probably didn't look up Arnton Gingrich, page 224. If you looked up in Arnton Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 224, it tells us that when eimi is used with the preposition ek, ek, looks like that in Greek and in English, that's how it's used in our verse, then it means to belong to something. to belong to something or to belong to someone. Here is to belong to something, specifically the cosmic system. So one, these false teachers belong to Satan's cosmic system. So a me plus the preposition ek should be translated here, they belong to something. These false teachers belong to Satan's cosmic system. Two, they are living in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. ISA, ISH. You're not writing all that out. Just ISA, ISH. Three, they have no virtue. They have no honor. They have no integrity. No virtue, no honor, no integrity. There's no virtue in Satan's cosmic system. There's no honor in Satan's cosmic system. There's no integrity in Satan's cosmic system. The present tense is the gnomic present. It makes a statement of general timeless fact and introduces an axiom of Scripture. And here's the axiom. False teachers belong to Satan's cosmic system. False teachers belong to Satan's cosmic system. The active voice, false teachers perform the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the Word of God. The preposition ek plus the genitive goes along with a me to introduce to belong to something. And ek plus the genitive introduces origin from. And then ha cosmos that's the definite article and K-O-S-M-O-S. Ha cosmos. Now, y'all, a lot of times you see this word translated world. Very, very rarely it refers to planet Earth. But the main word for planet Earth is, oops. Yeah. See, you can teach an old dog new tricks. See? Gay. Not the gay that you think of. This is G-E. Gay. That's the Greek word for planet Earth, the world. Cosmos is the noun that comes from cosmeo. K-O-S-M-E long O. And cosmos is an organized system. Cosmeo means to organize. Now who's doing the organizing here? Satan. Satan has developed and organized a system to rule planet Earth. That organized system we call the cosmos, the cosmic system. Now, you can understand this. Cosmeo is where we get cosmetics. Cosmetics comes from cosmeo. Now you ladies, you got this. Because what do? When you wake up in the morning and before your husband sees you and you scare him half to death, you get up and go in and organize. You organize. And we are so happy that you do. I appreciate, I thank all of you ladies who take time to cosmeo, to organize. You organize by getting your hair all done just right. I know this because I watch my wife. And boy, she spends a lot of time on her hair. I spend no time on mine. Oh, maybe 30 seconds. She can spend 30 minutes. And then, well, you got to get the eyes done just right. The eyes got to be done just right, and then a little something on the face, a little rouge,
and then maybe something on your lips. And then of course you got to get your fingernails. The women have to get their fingernails, and then they have to get their toenails done too. And all of this thing, when they get all done, you go, "Wow, good job." And we appreciate, all the men in here appreciate you ladies, cosmeoi, and organizing yourself. Now, back in the Midwest, you got some people in the Midwest that decided that it was, you were satanic if you put cosmetics on your face. So they stopped doing all of that. Oh my God. If I was a pastor back in those churches, I would hand them all out brooms to, so they could fly around on, because they look like, you got it. There's not a sin to put cosmetics on your face and organize your body, and you ladies do a fantastic job, and we say thank you, and we appreciate every minute. But that's cosmos, an organized system, organized, developed by Satan to rule planet Earth. That's the cosmos. That's the primary way that this word is used. So cosmos is the cosmic system. It's Satan's cosmic system. Corrected translation, they, false teachers, belong to the cosmos. They belong to Satan's cosmic system. They are from the cosmic system. They belong to Satan's cosmic system. Therefore, the King James here is just horrible. Therefore, speak they of the world. We always start there. This is the preposition dia plus the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative laleo plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular cosmos once again with the definite article. Now we have dia plus the accusative. And you again are the enlightened congregation. Well, some of you are not enlightened, but a few of you are. Dia plus the accusative. Dia plus the accusative means because of, on the account of. The object of the preposition dia is the accusative singular neuter of the demonstrative pronoun houtos. H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And this is the near demonstrative, and you translate it this. So literally this says, because of this. Because of this, on account of this. In other words, because these false teachers are from the cosmic system, because they are living in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, because they are totally influenced and believe the lies of Satan's policy, human good and evil. You see, this is very powerful by the Apostle John. Because these false teachers are from the cosmic system, because they're living in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system, because they are totally influenced and believe the lies of Satan's policy, human good and evil, what do? They laleo. They teach lies. They teach lies. They teach false doctrine. And there's, because we have so many Christians, idiots, living in the cosmic system, they will believe the lies that they teach. Well, we are going to start off there with their communication of lies. That's where we'll start next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us, that we might benefit spiritually from the teaching of your word. In Christ's name, amen.